Hello, hello, and welcome to Tell Me Why You're Special. And you guys, this is not a highlight reel podcast. This is the arena. This is where creators, writers, founders, the barely holding it together but still showing up humans, get the microphone. You get to pitch your book, your podcast, your product, your story. Tell us why you should have one if you don't. We're talking about really how your mess has turned into a message, how you kept moving forward while getting your ass kicked, really, and what it actually looks like to build something meaningful, to step into the potential that God gave you when you don't have it all figured out yet. So, we don't fake confidence here. We don't sugarcoat anything. Life is happening in real time. So, I've brought on real people with real courage and real momentum. So, if you're in the arena and you're feeling bruised and bold and still standing, this is your room. So, today, the Tell Me Why You're Special podcast is excited to bring on Steve Frazier today. And I love his story. I'm excited for him to get to tell it. I've been able to speak to him a few times now, and I'm honored to call him a friend. I genuinely like his work. I like his message. We align on a lot of core values and ethics, and I think that's incredible. But here we are. You are in the chair, Steve. I want to turn it over to you. And before we kind of jump into like what you're building and what you've been doing, I kind of want to ground this for a minute because nothing really happens in a vacuum. So I am curious. This is foundational for me, but when did you start to realize that God wasn't just watching your life, but he's actually moving it, guiding, redirecting you? Maybe even protecting you in ways that you couldn't see at the time.
That was probably 19 years ago when I was 50. I've been a lifelong Christian and I always believed, never left. And 19 years ago, probably the Holy Spirit came to me and said, "You know, it's time maybe you should start to talk about your faith." And it was a game changer, you know. And then 10 years ago, I did some research on apologetics. Because I had this, as every Christian, you have doubts once in a while, right?
Absolutely.
Whether whatever you want to call it, you can call it sin, sure. And I had them, and so I went into apologetics, and I realized that there was so much physical evidence about Jesus that nobody talks about, and it was just it was a game changer. And so from then on, I just decided that I was going to share this with people. And every day I get better and bolder. And again, a little bit of Holy Spirit there. Because let's face it, Christians are under attack. And, you know, one of this kind of sounds kind of corny, and you may or may not have heard this. I have no fear of death. Because I know where I'm going, and what a better thing to have in your future than hanging out with Jesus and the apostles and the disciples and this kind of thing. I mean, it doesn't get any better. With that being said, the fear around death is what happens to the people that I leave here that depend on me, you know, and that's what I'm going to share, my story. You're going to understand when I talk for the next 27 minutes and answer questions or whatever, you will understand why I feel like this. And so there's a big difference between fearing death for, you know, what's going to happen to me. I have no problem with that. It's what happens to the people that are around me. So in your introduction, you talked about talking about messes turning into messages. And this is one of my stories. It's the beginning. It really is the beginning to how I decided to go down all kinds of rabbit holes. Because as you know, once you realize something is not right and you start to figure out what has been going on, it's like your head explodes and you can't believe it. So almost 14 years ago, my wife came home. She was teaching. She's a teacher, a college professor, and she was doing a seminar type class at a law office, and she couldn't open up a bottle of water, literally couldn't unscrew the cap. And she came home and she looked at me. She said, "I've got a problem, because this is not the first time that this has happened. The strength in my hands and wrists are gone." So we went to the doctor, and this would have been May, would be 14 years from this upcoming May. And the first doctor we saw was our MD. And she said, looked at her, examined her, did a couple tests, and we met with her again. And she's the only honest doctor that we met in the next 2 years. So
Wow.
that's a bold statement, but it's the truth. Because she looked at Brenda and she said, "There is something wrong, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to fix it." So my best advice is to go to some of these people that I'm going to recommend you go to. And so we did. So she's gone. Okay. We've never seen her again, because she actually moved shortly after that, and we've never seen her again. So over the next 2 years, we saw 17 different doctors, as Brenda would call them, ologists, because everybody's a specialist, right? Everybody, a neurologist, whatever. You go down the line. And the general consensus was, "We don't know what's wrong with you, and so there's the door. Go find somebody that can." Okay, that Hippocratic oath thing is, they were just burning it. They were putting a lighter to it right in front of us. More than one doctor looked at her and said, it's all in your head." And she collapsed in the parking lot after that one. And I just looked, I said, "You know, the guy doesn't know what's wrong with you, so he's blaming you because he thinks he's a god, and he can't admit, and he doesn't have the humility to admit that he doesn't know what's wrong with you." Another neurologist did some tests to my wife, and I was in the tests. I went to all this with her. They stuck needles in her muscles, to check for MS and things like this. And while she was doing this, Brenda looked at her and said, "Did you train with the Nazis?"
Oh.
It was that bad. I mean, she's literally screaming in pain. And so we meet with this neurologist, and she said, "I can't find anything wrong with you." And we're at a small, intimate table, three of us. And I looked at the lady and I said, "So if you were in my wife's chair," this is three, she's 2 or 3 feet away, I said, "What would you do?" She said, "I would go to my general practitioner and I would get the heaviest narcotics I could get."
Wow.
I looked at her and I
Trauma.
literally kind of laughed. I said, "That's not acceptable." I said, "That you're gonna She's 50 years old at the time. You're gonna kill her. This is gonna kill her." She said, "Well, that's all I've got." And then later on, we actually went back to her, and we got to her nurse to ask for a referral to Mayo. And she actually said, now the nurse told us what she said. She said, "There is nobody at Mayo that knows more about this than I do, so there's no reason for me to give you a referral."
Wow.
This is mind-blowing, right? So this all started in May of 2012. In June of 2012, my daughter had her first son. His name is Mac. And after about, he went to his 2 month visit, got a bunch of vaccines, and went into basically just pure terror, crying, never slept, just classic symptoms of a back injury. And so Alex started to pursue this. Now, she was an underwriter at an insurance company at the time. Now you've got, and until I started to think about this to talk to you today, I didn't realize how these coincided. And your messing the message thing is just perfect setup, because what Alex did as she started to research and find ways to help Mac, she found a girl, a natural health practitioner, about 50 miles away, and she started to take Mac. And she came into our house. It was late summer, early or early fall, and she walked in and said, "Mac is vaccine injured." And Brenda and I looked at her and said, "That can't be, because vaccines only help. They don't cause any harm." Well, that was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And probably within a week, we were in the rabbit hole. And then we realized, I had been traveling just before this, and I was training Microsoft Excel, and I was glorifying Bill Gates for all of the work that he did with the stuff where he was giving all these vaccines to India and Africa, which turns out later on he killed and maimed literally hundreds of thousands of people, and talk about wanting to take your words back, right? I mean, so when she found this girl, this other lady, she came to us and she had done some research. She said, "This is what I want to do with my life. I want to help people and I want to help Mac." So she would travel down to Florida for a weekend, doing for muscle testing. It's called nutritional re response testing. And then later on, she became actually a practitioner of morphogenic field technique and a trainer. But what happened then is over. So when time by time Mac was three, he was classified on the spectrum, because he had some bad stuff.
Yeah.
And so Alex had just started to practice, and she figured out that it was basically there was a lot of heavy metals in there, and she detoxed him over about a year to a year and a half. And right now, if you met him, you would never know that he was anywhere close. There's no indication. The only three, I think there's only three people that know, and that's Brenda and Alex and I,
Yeah.
because he has moments. And it's a bizarre thing, because he will actually give himself a timeout when he becomes overstimulated,
Wow.
which is pretty rare, and I in my travels, and for another day, I used to do a lot of demos of a product I make at co-ops in the Midwest, Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Madison. And I met a lot of people that had autistic kids, and I met a lot of autistic kids. And it's pretty rare when you can pull somebody back, and she pulled him back from the depths of hell, basically, literally.
Wow.
Well, in that process, then, after those 2 years of Brenda seeing these ologists, Alex started her practice. Realized she's brand new. So, and Brenda now had gone from 115 pounds to 89 pounds. Okay. Now, if you take that percentage wise, I weigh 180 pounds, give or take. If you take 20% or 25% of my body weight, I'm going to be 140 pounds, and I'm going to look like I'm going to die. Well,
Crazy.
she did look like she was going to die. So Alex walked into the house. She called us up. She said, I want to check Brenda." Walked into the house and said, "You have Lyme disease from the waist down, 15 minutes through muscle testing." And this is energy work, okay? This is energy work, okay? There's no way to say this. Alex is the first to admit that she only interprets what your body wants, and it's all natural supplements. And so then we began a journey. And this was all because of that first girl. So when Brenda, and then Brenda had started to see this other girl named Ashley. And what happened is that we went to her 4 days later, and she confirmed this with no bias. We didn't tell her. And so what we got out of this was what Brenda's life. Okay, now realize 2 years of undiagnosed Lyme is dramatic. Her adrenals were almost dead. Her thyroid was almost dead. And to this day, now this is almost 14 years later, she deals with this every day.
Wow.
And she sees Brenda. She still sees the other lady, Ashley. We just were introduced to something called a biocharger, which is a very fairly expensive machine. A friend of ours has it. She's using to cure her glioblastoma. which she had removed from her brain back in July, and it seems to be working pretty well. And it has had some tremendous effect on Brenda's pain, because the biggest thing is pain, and her legs are in continual pain. And she has to take a very low grade narcotic. On a bad day, really bad day, she has to take Vicodin. Now this, she's one of those people that is deathly afraid or very respectful of narcotics. And so, she won't take more than one a week. Usually it's more than not more than one every 2 weeks. Okay. It's when she's desperate. It's when she can't function. Now, ultimately, all this led to Alex in doing several different clinics. She moved from a small one to another one to another one, has grown her business. She's helped literally thousands and thousands of people, and Brenda now works with her one half day a week, does emotional clearing because she's a tremendous empath. And when you look at the mess, and the mess is barely bad health, possible autism for the rest of Mac's life, you start to look at this and you realize that we were in trouble. Okay. And how many times in the last 5 years, maybe 6 years, as Brenda looked at me, and even Alex has brought this up, we would never be here if these things hadn't happened. And Brenda actually has looked at me and all the things that has gone on in her life. She said, "This was worth it." And that's a bold statement, and when she works, when she does her emotional clearing, and if somebody has ever heard of the emotion code, and it's a book that was written, and there's a lot of practitioners that just use that, and they've got a guide and they've got questions and everything. The emotion code is like second grade, and Brenda's is a freshman in college. Okay. Whatever the analogy is. Okay. Because she just goes deep. And whenever she does this, she thoroughly makes sure everyone understands that she's not doing this, it's the Holy Spirit. Because she doesn't have that power. She does not have that power. So we look at what's the result of our mess is that we together, I'm involved in this peripherally with both of them. We have helped so many people help themselves, because it's supplements, it's natural supplements. And when Alex and some of the stuff she does and can find is truly amazing. And it's mind-blowing occasionally. I mean, she had a here's an example. There was a girl that came to Alex and was having some really, really bad symptoms and stuff, and Alex tested her, and she said, I'm finding that you have like fly larvae, maggots in your body. No idea. The girl goes home and looks in where she's holding her toothbrush, and there's maggots in the bottom of the container, and this is what she's putting in her mouth. And Alex found this. That's just one example of off the top of my head, I could do maybe 10 more, but there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 of these, where because the body, again, is telling her what's going on. Any questions? I'll go on, but.
No, I love this. I love this information, and I want to kind of direct it to how you got started on your personal mission now. I think this is incredible. You guys took massive responsibility for your health. I'm definitely an anti-pharma. It's a business. It's not a place that cares for people, right? It's a place that keeps
Right.
sick and all of those things. But you've also gone against a society that has normalized something that's incredibly toxic for us, and you've had the courage to speak out against that, and I think that's incredibly commendable. And what was the jump between, what had happened with Brenda, what actually pushed you into the anti-caffeine rabbit hole.
Well, as we pursued all these things, we realized all these things that are they're telling us that are good for us are not good for us. Okay. And in my caffeine journey, for as an example, 11 years ago, so this is right in the middle of all this, I was traveling to Milwaukee to do a demo. So I had a 12-hour day, and I was a chronic caffeine user. I mean, I lived for those 30 years. I was in the restaurant business. I mean, when I was in the restaurants and we would open a new restaurant, I would have double-fisted lattes, 20 ounces from the gas station. There were no Starbucks at that time, but so you got them at the gas station machines or in the coffee pot, whatever. I would have two of them because I didn't want to run out. Not even the caffeine, but the sugar. I mean, just it blows my mind to see to realize what I was doing to myself. Well, I'm on my way to Milwaukee. I'm 45 minutes from home, and my heart starts to jump out of my chest, and I'm not happy. I turned around. I called Milwaukee. I said, I'm not going to make it. I called Brenda. I said, I'm coming home. Now, I'm a silly boy. I should have went right to the hospital. I drove home 45 minutes back. I said, you need to take me to the emergency room. So we go there, and they put me in a bed. They hook me up to an EKG machine. I'm having these, and what they are is they're premature ventricular contractions, okay? And everybody has them. I happen to be very sensitive to them, so and I thought I was having a heart attack. I had had some small ones before this, but this was the first big one. So I'm watching every time my heart jumps out, I'm watching the EKG machine go up and down. And then the doctor walks in. First thing he says is, you're going to live. He said, you didn't have a heart attack. I said, well, that's great news. That's comforting. So what's causing this? And he said, well, stress. And then he smirked a little bit and he said, and caffeine. And so I quit. I walked out of there and I quit. And I quit for 2 years. And like every good addict, I thought I would be the one guy that was addicted that I could handle this. Okay. Because I'm smarter than everybody else and I'm better than everybody else. There's some ego going on here, right? I mean, we've all been, I mean, maybe not everybody has
There,
been here,
yeah.
but I mean, and there's so many things we can be addicted to. And many people just don't realize that caffeine is an addiction, and it's a severe addiction. Okay. It's not just a little addiction, because it causes so many things like the heart palpitations, blood pressure, blood sugar, fertility, damage to the fetus. I mean, and I could go on for a couple hours on this, so I'll stop there. But so I go back on, and I'm just going to have one or two caffeines, right? Coffees, whatever, soda. Well, 6 years later, which is about 2.5 years ago, I realized that caffeine owned me. I couldn't function in the morning. I mean, the first thing I did when I got up was have some kind of caffeine, whether it's coffee or soda or an energy drink. And I'm doing the whole gamut, right? Because in the afternoon, if you don't have more caffeine, you're done. Okay, you're crashing. And that's you don't control this. It's your body, because you have that cortisol, adrenaline, a dopamine spike whenever you drink caffeine. And it happens to you don't control this. So it happens to everybody. Now, everybody reacts a little differently. And so what I did then is I quit cold turkey, which I would not recommend, and I don't recommend. I have a book about it. I have a program. I lost 3 days of my life. The severe headaches, and that's the adenosine. When your adenosine receptors open up because the caffeine plugs them, all that blood flows to your brain, and there's only one solution to getting rid of that headache: caffeine. There's no drug, there's nothing you can use. The best thing to do when I did it, I called Alex and I said, what should I do? Because I thought, there's got to be a supplement here. She said, well, drink as much water as you can. And then she said, if you want to humor yourself, realize this is the natural health girl. She says, you can take some ibuprofen. It's not going to make any difference, but mentally, it might make you feel better. And I haven't looked back. And I mean, have I had a caffeine? Yes, but rarely. And I used to, in September, which is almost 6 months ago, I made my first road trip to Florida, all the way there and back. And it takes us 2.5 days now. We used to do it in 24 hours. I went all the way there and back with no caffeine. And the first night I walked into the hotel, 12 and a half hours on the road, We're in the elevator, and I looked at Brendan and I said, I have never felt this good after driving 12 and a half hours.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep right away. See, because what happens, what I would drink caffeine. It was an excuse to drink caffeine, keep me alert so I don't kill anybody, right? And clarity, which is a fallacy. But then when I would get into that hotel at night, I would sometimes lay there for 1 to 3 hours because I'm wired, literally, from all the caffeine. And then the next morning, obviously I'm exhausted. So what do? I go down to the cafeteria in the hotel and just power slam coffees or cappuccinos or whatever I get my hands on. And I'm doing it all day. Then I'd get to Florida and then I would stop because I'm not addicted at this point.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, it's rinse and repeat. It's rinse and repeat. And so I finally broke that cycle.
Nice. Very
And
nice.
now Alex is trying to quit caffeine. You know, she was at 400, 450 milligrams a day, which she thought she was at like 250 or 3. When you actually realize what you're consuming,
Oh, I know. It's
it's mind blowing.
yeah. And it is a toxic culture. Where can people find everything you've built around this idea, just to get resource, to get the information, to make, a decision to go up against big corporations and something that's being pushed on you daily, obviously, coffee culture is strong. Where
Yes.
can they get resourced? Where can they find everything?
I've rebranded my website to stevefraser.net. So it's my name right there, .net. And what I did is originally it was Release the Coffee Cuffs. That's my program, and that's the book, Release the Coffee Cuffs, Winning the Battle with Caffeine. But what I did is I added two other programs in there.
Okay.
And one is a self-sabotage. So I'm a self-sabotage coach. Okay. That's for another day, but I do that.
Yeah.
And then I added a faith-based self-sabotage
Oh.
program, which, if you want to look at that not only as physical or mentally and physically, but also spiritually and biblically,
Yeah.
I've added that.
That's amazing. And you have the Can You Handle the Truth podcast. I got to be a guest
Yes.
on that. I'm excited about this show for you. And that came about from all of this as well, right?
Right. Because the bottom line is that, one of the things I talk about with caffeine, and one of my biggest challenges is cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
And I used to say that first, and now I don't. Now I say, okay, let's talk about objective truth. Okay. Now that's something that maybe somebody can relate to a little more. And when you have objective truths presented to you, and all of your programmed beliefs from your whole life says that's wrong,
Right.
you dismiss that objective truth. And that is cognitive dissonance. And the truth is that caffeine is a drug, psychoactive drug, and it's incredibly addictive. And there are no documented health benefits to caffeine. There are some for coffee, okay, but that's without the caffeine. So if you get a good decaf, Swiss water processed and organic. Okay, there's polyphenols in there. There's antioxidants. And there's an influencer on the internet. I won't say his name, but he's making millions and millions of dollars. And he made the statement, one, that coffee is great for you and you're going to live longer and healthy. And the coffee's good for you. It's not the caffeine. So that, but then he said that Americans, get 67% of their antioxidants from coffee. And this really irritated me. So I did a deep dive on that. And he's right,
Wow.
because our diets are so poor,
Yes.
we don't eat any food with antioxidants in it. So you are getting it from coffee,
Yeah.
because that's what you're power consuming. Okay, so I will leave you with this. And whenever I do a post about any of this on Facebook, my comment generally is, question everything, and think for yourself. Because and I know that most of the stuff we hear is not true. It's outright lies, and they're influencing us to make money. So do that, and your life will be better. And then pray. I pray about it. That's the best way. Okay. And then go into the rabbit holes.
Yeah. I love that. Get grounded first and then move forward. I'm so excited that you came on to share your story today. You guys make sure you get resourced with Steve. Find him on Facebook. Go to his website, stevefraser.net. Check out all of his information. And I know he's got a lot of work going for the future. And I don't hesitate to ask at all, like, what's going to, stop him from making excuses to play it small. He is here to play big. He's taking up space, and I love that. So check out his podcast, Can You Handle the Truth? And I just want to tell you guys, listen, you are not behind, okay? You are not broken, and you are not missing some secret ingredient that everyone else got handed at birth, okay? Everything you've ever needed to build, to heal, to speak, or to lead is already inside of you. It is a gift from God just waiting for you to let it unleash. Your story matters, not when it's polished or it's cleaned up and it sounds good. I'm saying now it matters. Your healing is worth the work it's asking of you. Your forward momentum, even when it's quiet and uncelebrated, it's still momentum. And choosing to be vulnerable to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm building. That is not weakness. That is courage. That is leadership. And I promise you, it is worth the cost. You are worth this. So if something in you is stirring, if you know you're meant for more and you're done hiding, I want you to stay here. I want you to subscribe to the show. Stay in the story. And when it's your turn, I want you to get the courage to come to me and step into the arena and tell us why you're special. Bye, everybody.